My job this morning is to welcome you to Grace Church. I need to say that at least 15 times, so you kind of get it. Our whole focus this morning is on doing that, whether you've been here just once and this is your first time, or many times over the months. I want you to understand, just give you a flavour of who we are as a church. I want to tell you what we do, but more importantly, I want to tell you why we do it. Here's probably the most important thing. Here in Grace Church, we worship the God of the Bible. He's God, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's, when I say God, that's who I mean. The God that you read about in the Bible. There has never been a time when this God has not been worshipped. Now, that's quite a big statement when you think about it. Never been a time when that God, this God of the Bible, has not been worshipped. I don't know if you can remember a time before BBC iPlayer. Can you remember that? How did the world exist? Can you remember a time before YouTube? Or maybe if you're a bit older like me, can you remember a time before mobile phones existed? If you were out and about and you wanted to talk to someone, you had to find one of those red boxes and make a call. I remember those days. Do you remember there was a time before the internet? I remember that time. I remember my whole school homework for my entire education came out of three little mini encyclopedias that were about that thick in total. If the information was not in there, it did not appear in my homework. That was life before the internet. Or if you were really keen, you went to a library. I never found one of those. And I remember when colour televisions were a thing of excitement. I can remember standing in front of my very first photocopier and being in awe. I reckon everybody remembers their first photocopier. Do you think? No, just me. But no matter how old you are, whether you are fairly young or whether you are reasonably old, or even if you are centuries old or millennia old, you cannot look back at a time before the God that you read about in the Bible was invented. He never was. There is no time when he wasn't worshipped. He truly is prehistory. But there was an article that appeared in the national newspapers just a few weeks ago. And it said this. It said, Britain is losing its religion, research has found, with the proportion of non-believers the highest it has ever been. More than half of the population has no faith, and the share who say they are Church of England Christians has fallen to just 15%, the lowest ever recorded. Just 3% of those aged 18 to 24 said they were C of E. Half of those aged 55 to 64 said they had no religion. Church of England leaders said the findings were troubling. Andrew Copson, the Humanists' UK chief executive, said the figures were proof that the church was undergoing an ongoing and probably irreversible collapse. Now, I find it difficult to marry up those two concepts. A God who has always been known, always been worshipped, and a church of ongoing and probably irreversible collapse. Are we really the generation that is going to see the end of Christianity? I really don't think so. You see, the church is not a museum piece. Otherwise, it would have been forgotten long ago, like gramophones and typewriters. The church exists because it is relevant to every time and every community. It is timeless Because Christianity is timeless. Because Jesus is timeless. The church in this country is in trouble if it is simply trying to hold on to a bygone era. And personally, I haven't got time for that. Ultimately, it's futile. You might as well try and hold back the tide like King Canute did down at Bosham Key. There is something much more exciting to be doing. This timeless God has a timeless message of salvation and hope in Jesus. Jesus is building his church. The Bible tells us so. In the book of Ephesians, it says that God's whole intention is that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom, the sheer genius of God should be on display. It should be evident. You should be able to look and see it. And that's what we aim for here in Grace Church. And we work hard to be a group of people together where you can see that God is at work. Now, there is a man in the Bible, a man called Barnabas. And he walked into a church one day, and that was exactly his experience. He was overjoyed, bowled over, because he could see. He looked and he could see what the grace of God had done. He could see evidence for the grace of God. Let me read you the actual verse. It's in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, and it says this. When he, that's Barnabas, arrived and saw that what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And I'm going to read you that story from the Bible in just a moment. You might want to turn to it. It's in Acts chapter 11. But before I read you that story, I want to show you a video which helps illustrate how this is working out in Grace Church right now. So let's watch this video together.
There's never been a time when people haven't believed in the God of the Bible. Our job is not to hold on to something of the past, but rather to present the timeless message of God's love and the hope found in Jesus to today's generation. If you live in a part of West Sussex and Hampshire that reaches from the South Downs right down to the sea, then we're here to serve you. We're Grace Church.
Grace Church.
We're Grace Church.
It's right, isn't it? Excellent. I like that video. We'll try and post that everywhere we can. Do the same and share it. The church that Barnabas walked into on that day in Acts chapter 11 was in a place called Antioch. And let me just show you what Antioch looked like. It was a bit like that, I think. And it was one of the most important cities in the Roman Empire at the time. It had a population of about 500,000 people. And it was a very diverse population. There were many different cultures represented there. And that's where Barnabas walked into church one day and saw the grace of God. Let's just read the story together from Acts chapter 11. I'll put it up there too. It says this. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and he saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So to look at a person or to look at a church and see with your eyes the grace of God must mean that God's grace has an effect, that it makes a difference to the way you live your life or the way we live as a church. But it really only does that when you have been impacted and astonished by God's grace for yourself. So let me try and explain grace to you and answer the question, what is grace? When people are talking about religion, there are two things that you often hear people say. The first thing you hear is that, well, religions, they're all basically the same, aren't they? Different ways up the mountain, all of that. All religions basically the same. Choose Islam, choose Hinduism, choose Christianity. Basically, it amounts to the same thing. People of faith. That's the first thing you hear. The second thing you'll hear said is that actually it's religion that is responsible for all the trouble in the world. In fact, somebody said that to me fairly recently. They said, wouldn't the world be a better place without religion? Now, to a certain extent, I have to say I agree with both comments. All religions are basically the same. All religions around the world are about law. They're about keeping a set of rules. The rules themselves might vary from place to place, but the essence of every religion is that if you live in a certain way right now, you will be safe and secure for eternity. In fact, highly religious ceremonial forms of Christianity are actually no different to that. And it is true that religious people can be some of the nastiest people on the planet. You just have to look at IS right now. Or the violent hatred that's been displayed between Muslims and so-called Christians over centuries. Yet you have to wonder what provokes someone to put a bomb on a tube train. The terrible scenes you see on the news on the Myanmar-Bangladesh border at the moment, a huge humanitarian crisis. It's basically the result of a clash of religions between the Buddhists and the Muslim minorities. Wherever you find religion, you will find that it breeds pride and fear. Pride because a religious person will always say that they are doing okay, that they are doing the right thing, that it's just everyone else that is failing to measure up. And fear because there's a feeling of being threatened. There's self-justification. There's an intolerance to anyone who holds a different view. And then it's only a very small step before fear becomes a deep insecurity and pride grows into an appalling cruelty and violence. And that's on our news every day, isn't it? It's what religion does. But there is something different. Something different is biblical Christianity. And it is entirely different. It's not a religion of law. So it stands completely apart. I don't even like using the term religion for Christianity, because it's not religion, it's an understanding, it's an experience of God's grace. It's not about what you can do for God, it's about what he has already done for you. And the Christian message is about a loving, accepting God who reaches down to you. And he is a giving God, and he gives away freely. That's what grace means. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me give you another verse. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand what has been given freely by God." The spirit of this world is the kind of philosophy that we tend to live by in our nation at the moment. And I think it basically says this in the UK. It basically says that everybody is intrinsically good. People do bad things sometimes, but they're pretty much good. All we need to do is to give people a good education and provide the right opportunities in life, and then the UK will be a wonderful place to live. It's godless nonsense, actually. It's the spirit of this world. Because actually, the truth is that everything we do is spoiled, is polluted, because it's corrupted by sin. Now, education is fantastic. Of course it's important. Of course we want to give everybody every opportunity in life. But actually, people don't need that to make the UK a wonderful place. What they need is a change of hearts. People need Jesus. And it's only the gospel of Jesus that is the hope for this nation. Only. And God gives freely. He says, you can have that. He freely gave his son. The Son of God, Jesus, took on humanity, was born into this world, and then he was held accountable for your sin. Put to death for your sin so that your slate could be wiped completely clean. You owed a debt you could not pay, but Jesus paid it in full on your behalf. And he freely gives you his spirit. It's only by the spirit of God that the gospel makes any sense at all. And you understand it. You go, I see now. See, I don't need law. I don't need to earn my place in heaven. God is giving it to me. And then the Holy Spirit, he comes and he makes you spiritually alive and he transforms you. So you're a new person. He lives in you. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It's not how can we organize our lives better. It is a new life. You become a new person in Jesus. And then God just keeps on giving. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also graciously give us all things?" Where does the giving of God stop? It stops when he has given us all things. Now that's the grace of God. I wanted to just kind of introduce you to it this morning. If you think, I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to receive that. Well, it's available for you today. If you'd like to find out more, though, if you think this sounds interesting, tell me more about it. I'd like to tell you about Alpha and invite you on our Alpha course, which is starting very soon. In fact, just over a week's time, on Monday, the 2nd of October, you would be really welcome to come along. Just, this is like a taster evening for our Alpha course. We start with food. There's a chance to hear some information about the Christian life. And then we will just chat about it. And you can chip in as you want to around a table. So our next Alpha course starts on Monday, the 2nd of October. I encourage you to sign up for that today. I think there's a tick box for it in your... Just don't leave this morning without accessing this kind of stuff, saying, yeah, actually, I'd like to find out more. Or maybe you know somebody and you think, what, that would just be brilliant for them. You need to get them on this Alpha course. Do that over the next few days. Let us know. That's the grace of God. If you get this, it will show in the way you live. It just has to change you. The people in Antioch, where that church was that Barnabas came into, they got it. And Barnabas could see it. So what could he see? Let's look into this passage. You get an idea what grace looks like. You see, firstly, what he saw was he saw that lives were changing. It says in verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Many people there had believed. They had also turned to the Lord. Turning to the Lord is what we call repentance. It means turning from sin. It means turning from your own agenda and like a me-centered life. It's all about me and my things. And actually turning to God and putting him first. And saying, okay, I'll live how you want me to live. That's repentance. The only way to do that, the only way to really overcome sin in your life is to be impacted by the grace of God. It says in Romans again, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. You see, it's grace that does it. It's not that when you become a Christian, you get a whole new set of rules. Oh, is this how I've got to live now? This rule and that rule? No. It's the grace of God that teaches you how to live. It's entirely different. Let me give you an analogy to explain this. Imagine that you are in a house. And there's lots of people in the house. In fact, in the house, there are some people who are able to hear normally. And there are some other people in the house who are completely deaf and can't hear anything. You go into one of the rooms and there's somebody there who's able to hear. In fact, they are listening to some music playing. And they're clearly enjoying the experience of listening to this music. I don't know what your favorite music would be. Maybe a bit of Beethoven or maybe Little Mix, or Stormzy, or something. I don't know. Imagine what you would like to hear. A bit of Foo Fighters, maybe. Whatever your thing is. That's what's playing. This person is listening to that music. They are clearly enjoying it. I mean, they're smiling. They look relaxed. They're jigging around to the beat. They may be doing a bit of air guitar. You can tell they're having a good time. Now imagine somebody else comes into that room and they are completely deaf. They actually can't hear a thing. But they see the person listening to the music and they think, he seems to be enjoying himself. I would like some of that. But they can't hear the music. So instead they try and copy what they can see the guy is doing. They think, well, what's this? It looks like you need to kind of tap your foot like this. And maybe you need to sway a bit. Doesn't seem that fun to me. I don't see why it's so enjoyable. Maybe I'm not smiling enough. Maybe I need to smile. So I'll put a smile on my face. Look happy. Maybe it's all about playing an imaginary guitar. Let's do that. You see, it doesn't work. I don't get why he's enjoying this. No amount of dancing and jigging around will ever enable that deaf person to hear the music. It will never be fun in the same way. It will always be forced. It would always be awkward. So here's the thing. A Christian dances to the music of heaven. It's the Spirit in you who enables you to hear that music. You hear how God wants you to live. You submit to his word. You go with it. An unbeliever can try and imitate that, can try and sort of follow the signs, but it will never work. It will only ever be following rules. And there is no fun in following rules. Only awkwardness. Titus 2 in the Bible says, the grace of God has appeared to us, bringing salvation, yes, but also training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, teaching us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. See, Barnabas could see the grace of God because people were turning to Jesus, renouncing all sorts of ungodly attitudes and practices, saying, I'm going to live God's way. If you are struggling with some sort of sin in your life at the moment, the answer is not to try harder, not to try applying the Christian rules. The answer is to get back in a relationship with Jesus. It's him you need. Think about, pray about, sing about, become obsessed about the grace of God. What does he offer me? You will find that sin has no power over you. It just melts away. Seriously, it does. Barnabas encouraged the whole church to remain true to Jesus with all their hearts. Then after he'd gone to get his mate, who was called Saul, and he brought him back to Antioch, back to the church, and there together they spent time teaching the church everything that the Bible has to say. One of the most important characteristics of Grace Church is that we preach the Bible. Unashamedly. Every week we give a good amount of time to explaining the Bible, to applying it to our lives. You don't need to hear me stand here and just give you my opinion. There is plenty of opinion out there in the world. What we all need is timeless truth from God's word. It's powerful. It's effective. It's God's revelation to you. You see, even this morning, I could have taken the time to introduce Grace Church to you, to describe what's going on in our diary, to give you a flavor of what's happening. It's just not enough for me. I want to be in God's word. That's my passion. That's my authority. And so that's what we do. When the word is preached, the Spirit is at work. If you've just started coming to Grace Church, you've come at a good time because we are about to start our next preaching series. And I'm calling this series Abundant Life. It's the difference that Jesus makes. And we're going to be based mostly over the next string of weeks in the New Testament letter of 1 John. When John wrote that letter, he had one underlying conviction on his mind that he wanted to communicate, and we need to hear this too. It was this. It was that if you want to make sense of life, if you want to cut through the stress and the confusion and the disappointment and instead lead a victorious life of peace and joy and hope for the future, then the only way is to begin with an accurate understanding of who Jesus is. Now that's quite a big statement, and we are going to begin unpacking that next week. So stick around, and over the weeks that follow, that's Abundant Life. So Barnabas saw lives being changed as people turned to Jesus. The second thing that Barnabas saw was that people accepted one another. You see, already in that church in Antioch, there were Jews who had believed in Jesus, and there were Greeks, non-Jews, Gentiles, who had also believed in Jesus, and they were all together in the church. And in that society at that time, there was this huge social and religious barrier between these two groups of people, Jews and non-Jews. And even in the leadership of the church, there was all sorts represented. They accepted one another in the church. They were a community with one another. Do you know that the grace of God will do that to you? Here is something that I've observed in life in general, that people tend to treat other people with the same love and acceptance and forgiveness that they think they are receiving from God. Do you get that? Religious people are always mean to others because they think they are serving a mean God. If they think they've had to convince God to love them, then of course their attitude to others will be, well, give me one good reason why I should be friendly to you. But remember God's grace. He gave his love to you for nothing. He forgives you for everything. And when you really receive the grace of God, it just flows out to others and it breaks down barriers. Within Grace Church, we have a representative slice of the community in which we live. We have some people who are a little bit wealthy, and we have the poorest, the homeless, in here worshipping side by side. We have those who would form society, and we have those who would be outcasts of society, side by side, worshipping. We have the elderly, we have the young, we have people from a wide variety of ethnic backgrounds, we have people of different sexual orientations. It's like we're one big family. In fact, the Bible describes the church just like that. A family of believers. Now, your own family background, it might have been good or it might have been more challenging. I guess we all know what strengths a family should bring. It's a place where you belong. It's a place where you share something in common. It's a place where you care for one another and care for those who are down and struggling. It's a place where even if you have an argument, even if you rub each other up the wrong way, there's a deeper bond that exists and means you will always be there for one another. That's family. Well, that applies to the church. It should do. If you've been thinking about church as a place that you go to, perhaps now and again when you feel like it, or you feel, my needs need to be met, so I'll go to church, I just encourage you to think differently. Church is a family. And you can belong. I just want to tell you about students in 20. If you're a student, maybe you've just arrived in the area or you're coming back for the next year of study, or if you are in the 20s age bracket, I just wanted to extend a special welcome to you and just say how delighted we are to have you as part of Grace Church. You are welcome. Come and get involved. Come and be part of this crowd of people mucking. Whether you're just here for 1 year, for 3 years, or for 30 years, it doesn't matter. Come and get stuck in. And we want you to kind of integrate with church life and just be part of us. Just get involved. So good to have you with us. We do also put on occasional events and want to serve you as students and as 20s. And so there's a number of events that happen through the year. But I just want to tell you that we have a lunch provided for you over, not today, but the next two Sundays, 1st and 8th of October. And I don't want you to pay too much attention to the venues, because I think they may be out of date now. But we will provide lunch for you. I think we'll probably be in Chigate for both weeks. But sign up. Don't miss it. You are most welcome. And it's great to have you with us wherever you are. Okay. Moving on, just two more. They were vocal about Jesus. What was it Barnabas saw? He saw people who liked to talk about Jesus. In verse 26, it says, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. There was something about Antiochian society that they liked to give nicknames to groups of people. So they would say, well, you are the people who are always going on about Herod. So we're going to call you the Herodians. And that name kind of stuck. It was slightly tongue-in-cheek, actually. It was meant to be mocking. But when they started to identify the believers in Jesus as a distinct group, and they said, we are going to call you the Christians. Well, those Christians, they quickly thought, well, do you know what? I'm glad you're calling us that. I know you're trying to mock me, but I'm proud to carry the name of Jesus. Have you ever had someone mock you for talking about Jesus? I get that from one or two. It's kind of lighthearted, kind of jibes mostly. I don't see it as a bad thing. It's the equivalent of being called a Christian in Antioch would probably be to be called a Jesus freak today. All they ever go on about is Jesus. Do you see, it's a compliment. It's how it should be. Keep talking about Jesus. Go on about him. I know that in conversation, it's always easier to talk about, I don't know, TV or politics or social action, or just even easier to talk about church or even to talk about God. But if that's all the believers in Antioch had ever done, then the word Christian would not even exist. Keep talking about Christ. You bear his name. If nobody is calling you a Jesus freak or something similar, then you're not living up to the name Christian. Now, wherever we are through the week, Grace Church is a church that wants to tell people about Jesus. Because it's good news. And we want to share that good news. And we also look for ways to work together to make a bigger impact on the communities where we live. The evidence of the grace of God on us, so that people can see it. Now, this coming Saturday is an example of that. We're putting on a free barbecue and some other kind of activities for the people of Midhurst on the Holmbush estate, Holmbush Way in Midhurst. And what we've found is this. We've found what Jesus said to his disciples to look for the man of peace. What he was saying was, look for the man or woman who wants to know about me and be ready to tell them. So as a church, we tend not to preach to people uninvited. What we do is we aim to be nice to people. We put on fun things. We offer to help. We even offer to pray for people. And then when people ask, as they invariably do, why are you doing this? What motivates you? Then we tell them about Jesus. That's how we do it. He's the reason. That's what we say. So this is one such example. And if you're able to help out, then it's not too late to sign up to help out. And I'm sure there are things that still need doing, and that's fine. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Even if you're not helping out, I encourage you just to come along between 11 and 2 on Saturday. Be kind of rent a crowd. And it just makes the place look busy. And so that's great. Do come and enjoy it. Be part of this. It's fantastic. Finally, what did Barnabas see? He saw that they looked for ways to help and serve others. We get this extra little insight into the church because the prophet Agabus came from Jerusalem and he prophesied that there was going to be a famine. The grace of God always leads to generosity of spirit. Right throughout the church, they said, right, we've got more than we need. They need our help. Let's send a gift. We can do that. And they all rallied round. They all gave the generosity of spirit. One way of seeing grace at work is when you see a people who are not blind to the needs of others around them. But instead, there are people who readily think, well, I can help. I can do something there. I can offer what I've got. Jesus gave up everything for me. I've got resources of time and energy and money and whatever. And there's a need. I'll be part of meeting that need. Grace Church is a serving community. We only exist. We only kind of have cohesion because we are always looking for ways to help one another out. And I see this all the time, and it blesses me. If someone in one of our life groups is sick, or I've had a new baby, or something else has happened, and people are just there, ready to help, ready to support. And there are serving teams to get involved in, so many of those, making our Sunday mornings work together, other events that just need people to serve in as well. We also serve our wider community in many different ways, just getting out there amongst people who need help in general, which we put together under the banner of Grace Works. And you can look on our website and see a whole list of them there. Simply showing Jesus's love to people who need it. Like the guys who go into Ford Prison and help people there, or help people who were recently released from Ford Prison. It's fantastic. Working with refugee families like we do now in Chichester and in Bognor. I really want to welcome you to Grace Church. I want to I want to just say it's fantastic to have you with us. If you are not already, come and be a part of us. I love this church. If you're thinking of checking us out, of joining us, I encourage you to look for evidence of the grace of God. Whatever it was that Barnabas saw in that church in Antioch, look for the sense of the presence of God when we come together, the Holy Spirit at work. Look for the buzz over the tea and coffee. People actually want to be here. Look for people serving and demonstrating love for one another. Look for a sense of being on mission together. Look for a people with generosity of spirit. Ultimately, look for a people who really want to worship God, who really want to see his name lifted high in this community. If you've come to Grace Church once or twice or maybe more, I would love to welcome you into Grace Church as a member. Now, I believe that membership of a local church is important. Mostly it's important for you. Because it's a chance for you to demonstrate that you are clearly in. That you are a part of this family, a part of this body. We also have a membership because it's good for all of us. It's good for us to know who is a part of us. It may be that you know you are part of Grace Church, but if we don't know that you know, then are you really? That's my question. I mean, it's a bit like having a long-lost brother that you never knew about. Now we need to know. To become a member of Grace Church, we usually ask that everyone comes on a Saturday morning called Exploring Membership. And if you love Jesus, if you agree with the values of Grace Church and you want to join us and be part of this family, and you come on this morning, we welcome you into membership. It's as simple as that. That's all there is. I'm going to do something a little bit radical this morning. Yeah, I am nervous. No, I think it's good. I actually felt a prompt of God to do this. And that's basically, the thing is, that a lot of what I've said to you this morning about the Antioch church, about the values of church life, do you know, that we cover that in like the first session of Exploring Membership, kind of roughly. And so, if you've heard what I have said today, and you think, yeah, I would like to be a part of this church, then what I'm going to do is ask that you hang around when I finish for just like 10 minutes. What I'm going to do is say, rather than go and get your tea and coffee, come down here, roughly here, for just 10 minutes. And the kids workers know that some parents might be a little bit late, and that's fine. And I will just explain, I'll put our membership book in your hand, I'll explain what the next steps are. So basically what I'm saying is you won't have to come on the Exploring Membership morning to be a member. Even though I do think it is an excellent morning and I encourage you to come anyway, I'm just saying, come on, let's just sort this out this morning. Let's just do it. All right? I just felt prompt of God to bring people into membership. And that's not to say you have to commit this morning. You can still go away and think about it. But I want to make that open to you. So when we finish, don't go that way. Come this way. All right. This is like a one-off opportunity. This is not now the new thing. So don't miss it. For all of you, whoever you are, I would want you to know that you are most welcome here. It's good to have you with us. Stick around. Enjoy the grace of God in this place. Let's be Grace Church together. I'd like us to take a moment to respond, because what we're going to do is we're going to sing. We're going to just one more chance just to express truth about our God. The band can come up. As we are singing this song at the same time, assuming you can multitask, we're going to collect in the forms. The what's on forms, which hopefully by now you've all filled in. So the baskets are going to go round. We're going to collect them in. So be ready for that. You need to tear it off like that and fill it in. Let's stand together. I'm just going to pray. So wherever you are, will you pray with me? Consider what your personal response is this morning. Consider what God would have you do. Maybe it's Alpha and you think, I just need to find out about this Jesus and what he means to me. Maybe you've heard enough on that. You just say, I need to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want to give my life to him right now. Maybe it's church and you think, yeah, I want to be a part of this family. So just let God just speak to you. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your great love. I thank you for your grace. We deserved nothing, but you stepped in. You stepped into this world. You went to the cross for me. Because you looked into the future and you wanted a people who for eternity would praise you with one voice around your throne. Lord, we want to be a part of that people. Thank you for saving me, removing every obstacle and block from my life that would keep me from knowing you as Father. I just embrace you again today. Thank you, Lord, you're building your church. Even here in Chichester, I thank you, you are building your church. You're touching lives, you're transforming people. Whatever stage we are at in life, you have a plan and a purpose for us, which always includes the community of God's people. And I pray, Lord, that you would be present here in Grace Church with such power, with such joy, with such grace, that we may know you at work in people's lives in extraordinary ways. Keep working amongst us, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.